Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to the Johto Quorum. This microphone is too close to my mouth, but we have once again assembled as a council to discuss Pokemon and who should stay and who should go, so you've got to let me know. I'm Six Demar from The Clash, I mean Scanline Media.
I'm Alan Ibrahim from The Ramones, I mean Chats and Scanline Media.
You guys really are the Ramones to our Clash. It's so true.
Wow.
Because you guys make songs about sex and we don't.
Oh. You just did a podcast about a sex game. Don't even start.
Also, The Clash totally did songs about
sex. Yeah, all the time. Should I stay or should I go is about sex. Like, what? This is the Johto Quorum. This is a podcast where we never get horny because Pokemon are pure and good, and we're here to rank them and decide which ones to keep and which ones to remove as we recreate our perfect list of all Pokemon in chronological order. This week, we are starting with a friend, with a true friend.
We're starting with a banger. We're starting with a showstopper, Alan. And they say you're not supposed to do that.
They say that's against the law. They may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. It's 133. It's Eevee, known in Japanese as Eevee. It's basically Eevee in Japan, like with katakana.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first two letters of evolution.
So the voice actor, or actress, I suppose I should say, for Eevee in Let's Go Eevee is adorable. I don't know if you knew that.
I think you can just say actor at this point. We're beyond the point where we have to differentiate between people's.
That's a good gender, point. You know? That's fair. That's very fair.
It's just their merit. Yeah, you told me that the one in Let's Go, like, it's worth it just because that Eevee voice actor is very good.
It's honestly wonderful.
Eevee! First of all, adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Majestic. Yes. They got the lion's mane. They look like a sort of hybrid of a lot of different animals. Like, there's a little bit of a lion, little chinchilla, little dog, little cat. Which makes
definitely
sense.
Definitely some fox.
Definitely some fennec fox. It makes sense because of the sort of like template that Eevee forms that it can branch off into.
Alan, let me tell you something.
Please do.
We're all born into this world, right?
Often, unfortunately, yeah.
But from there, you can become anything you want to be.
It's true. Eevee's an inspiration.
Unless you want to become rich, in which case, probably that's not going to happen.
No.
Because a tiny fraction of a percent of the population holds all the wealth.
Eevee evolves into 8 different evolutions.
What if in Pokemon Gen 8 there was a new Pokemon type just called Rich and it had an advantage against every other type?
Wow. But to get it, you have to like release a bunch of Pokemon and like fire them and get rid of jobs. Spend a ton of money just to invest and then maybe you get a rich Pokemon back.
There you go. There you go.
Rick, money sucks. Eevee's a keeper.
Eevee is the best Pokemon.
Wow. Eevee represents a lot of what is good about Pokemon. They're cute. They can become powerful. Even if they don't evolve, they can learn all sorts of cool stuff, especially as of Gen 7. They can learn that Z move where they do like the monstrous attack.
Well, it's not actually an attack.
Isn't it just a buff, right?
Yeah, it's a buff to basically every single stat because they call upon the spirit of every Eevee evolution to buff them up, which is sick.
Fuck yeah. The fun thing about talking about Eevee is we never have to stop talking about Eevee because Eevee has 3 evolutions in Gen 1. And they get mm-hmm. 2 more in Gen 2, 2 more in Gen 4, and then 1 more in Gen 6. And presumably something in Gen 8. I hope so. God, I hope so.
Probably. I would imagine. I mean, so what don't we have? We don't have a fairy Eevee.
Yes, we do.
Don't have...
Sylveon is a fairy.
Oh, you're right. I'm stupid.
No, you're not.
We don't have a fighting Eevee.
Oh my god, Eevee with little boxing gloves.
Eevee with just like a, you know, like a Hachimaki, like a headband, you know?
Yeah, I'm into it. We don't have a rock or ground Eevee.
It's true. It's true. We don't have a bug Eevee. I don't know that if I want a bug Eevee, though.
Maybe.
Sounds kind of unpleasant. We don't have a flying Eevee. We should have a flying Eevee.
Oh my god, yes! That would be a really
Dragon,
cool.
Steel.
What would Dragon Eevee even look like?
It'd just have... It'd be the same, except for it'd be green and it'd have Dragon. Listen, I'm not a visual designer. I'm sure it'd be cool.
We're keeping Eevee! I had to yell away from the mic for that. Here's the question.
We are definitely keeping Eevee. Yes.
In Gen 1, Eevee evolves three different ways. They can become water, lightning, or fire type. Which one do we keep? Do we keep all of them?
Yes. What?
Whoa, what? All right. Well, Vaporeon.
I mean, the thing of... Okay. So before we get into it.
Sure.
The thing about Eevee is that it represents potential.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that I spiritually feel good about cutting away at that potential.
Keep all the potential.
That's my base argument. But let's tackle it. We can't just have a blanket policy like that, yeah. Right? So let's tackle them one by one. Vaporeon.
Also known in Japanese as Showers. Hey, it's me, Showers. What's going on?
Not much, Showers. How are things?
Wet. So Vaporeon has a mermaid's tail. They have, there's a name for that thing that they have around their neck. It's a...
Mane?
No, like specifically that as an aquatic creature, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't trying to be patronizing.
I know,
I was just
know.
Like, I don't...
You're not donating money to me every month, I know. They have a horn that's kind of under-considered, actually, now that I think about it. And they have those cool ears. Vaporeon was probably I tie between two favorite Gen 1 evolutions. And Vaporeon is definitely one of them. Because Vaporeon's the kind of like little bit femme, little bit like sassy, cute one.
Man.
I'm just saying. I mean, they're all a little femme and a little bit cute. That's accurate.
Yeah. But I feel like Vaporeon is not... Well, no, I wouldn't say last place. But I feel like it's a clear second place of the three.
Of the three. I wonder if we're going to agree. Well, then fine. If we're going to just go into this saying we're keeping all the evolutions, you can't stop us.
I mean, are we saying that?
I'm ready to say that.
All right, great. Love it.
At least for Gen 1. At least for Gen 1. We'll come back to it in forever when we get to Leafeon. But, so there's...
Wow, all right.
Vaporeon, Showers. Jolteon, Thunders. Flareon, Booster! Flareon's
Booster.
Booster's my actual favorite.
Yeah, Flareon is rad.
Yeah.
Flareon's the best. Jolteon is kind of a weak design.
The problem with Jolteon is I always associate it with being the shittiest evolution to have stats-wise.
Oh, yeah, there's that too, isn't there?
Yeah, I never use a Jolteon on my teams. Maybe they've made them more competitive in the future. I just think design-wise it's good. You know, it's very pointy as electric types are, I mean.
Yeah, it feels a little uninspired to me. I mean, like, I guess I like the pointiness, but other than that and the coloration, I mean, there's nothing, like... I don't know. It doesn't. Like Flareon doesn't scream fire, but it has like the poofs of fur that just look really elegant and cute.
I love the poofs.
The poofs are really great, and Vaporeon has that mermaid thing. Like absolutely shouts water.
Water,
type.
Yeah.
Jolteon
is just not, pointy.
I mean, like yeah.
And they're a little bit svelte, which like
true.
It's. I guess it's hard to design electric types.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because there's no like electric animal in real life. Well, you know, like eels and stuff. But I like the coloring on Jolteon too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying we cut it. I'm just saying right now it's bottom ranking. Like we can do a separate thing where we rank the evolutions.
Maybe we'll have to do that at some point.
Right, and obviously we know which one's on the top. On 3, 1, 2, 3, Sylveon.
Sylveon.
I agree with you. Good talk.
I said Eevee-on.
Great. You're right. You were right. Eevee-on. It evolves into normal type. It's just bigger. So for now, Flareon, Jolteon, and Vaporeon all stay on the list.
Yes.
Love them.
Are you ready to talk about 137?
The virtual Pokemon, the source of many a Japanese child's seizures in the 90s.
Polygon.
Is this goals for you as an ace with who doesn't want to have a body anymore?
Well, I would prefer not, like, if I was going to be represented in an art style, I would honestly prefer, like, Sega CD, like, kind of, like, to, like, Snatcher, right? That kind of, like,
yeah.
Complicated, like, sprite, like, complicated pixel sprite. That's what I would want. That's goals for me.
Okay. I like that a lot. But Porygon is great. The thing with Porygon is it was really cool and unique when it was the only one. And it was mm-hmm. like, how do you get this thing? This thing's like digital. It doesn't exist. It has like weird moves.
Digimon.
It's basically Digimon. You're not Digimon. That's not the right way to say that. It's basically a Digimon. It's underrepresented in the anime because, as we mentioned, the episode of the anime that it was in was another banned ep because it's a part. Like, it's actually a really interesting episode. I've watched most of it at some point in my life, but Ash and company like go into a computer and fight a virus, and then a bunch of Porygon get flashed with light, and they do the foolish thing of flashing red and blue light, which is mm-hmm. exactly what can trigger seizures in people. So, you know, you don't get to see it in the anime anymore, but it's cool. I just think it's really cool.
So, like, what does a Porygon feel like?
Physically? Like, texturally?
I mean, like, it weighs 80 pounds, so, like, it has a weight.
Yeah, it's real. It's real, and it's my friend.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine it feels like you can't get a grip on it. It has, like, no friction. Mm. You try to, like, pet it, and your hand just slides off.
Here's a thing that I wish they had done, and I understand why they didn't, because it would look bad, but kind of the point of this Pokemon is to look bad. I wish it had had, like, N64, like, muddy textures.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I feel like as far as the concept of the virtual Pokemon, they actually didn't go for it enough.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the idea of Porygon, but I find the execution really underwhelming.
The problem is Porygon's evolutions go even further away from what I want out of a Porygon. Like, mm-hmm. out of my virtual Pokemon. Like, I don't want it to look like a fucking blow-up balloon. So Porygon Z can get the fuck out of here. And Porygon 2 looks like a, like, Windows 98 duck icon. So, I mean, Porygon amongst the three is the coolest looking one. I think that's just a fact.
That's for sure. Yeah, I don't know. One of the ironies, one of the weird things about Porygon is that, at least in the games, Porygon was meant to represent the march of, like, computer graphics technology, even as Game Freak and the Pokemon Company were about as far behind the advance of graphics technology as a game company can be and still be in business.
Right, exactly. And you couldn't get Porygon. You never caught them in the wild. You got it from winning at the Celadon Game Corner.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't ever found in the wild. It's like this outlier Pokemon that's supposed to be like, what is 3D graphics going to look like in the 90s? And then, yeah, Game Freak notoriously has refused to, like, fully, at least until, like, the last couple of years, refused to step into, mm-hmm. like, actual 3D, fully explorable environments in their games, despite that being, like, the most commonly requested thing from the Pokemon fandom. Is like, give me that 3D open world Pokemon.
Imagine how crazy it would be if Porygon in, like, fucking, like, Pokemon, you know, like, Pokemon Gold and Silver or something, had mode 7.
Oh, and they were the only thing that had mode 7.
Yes.
That would be really cool.
That would be really cool.
Porygon Shiny, by the way, is blue and pink, which is really cool.
So just like the inverse of its normal?
It's different blue and different pink.
Okay, I should pull it up. I'm just looking at my Pokedex in my lap here.
It's different shades of those, but basically inverse, yeah. Because it's like a darker blue and a lighter pink.
So this is one of those times where we bring ourselves to a bit of a crossroads.
Looking at the crossroads. What's up?
Are we going to keep a Pokemon whose idea is good when its reality is kind of lame?
Oh, boy, this is heavy. This is philosophical.
I mean, it's going to have repercussions, uh-huh. assuming that we're consistent, and we probably won't be consistent. But, like, if we were just looking at this design and being like, should we keep Porygon? The answer would be no.
Right.
But if we were like, but it's the digital Pokemon, it's the virtual Pokemon, and it's the only one that fills that niche besides its evolutions, which are even worse designed.
Yeah.
And that's a valuable thing to have.
Are the unknown considered virtual? No.
No. They're like hieroglyphs. I mean, like, we got like Rotom. Kind of. Rotom's different.
But Rotom,
but, like, Rotom
exists in person.
That's true.
They exist in meat space. You cannot You don't get a Porygon.
Well, you can get
Porygon. You did, you're digitizing a Porygon to make it real. You're 3D printing a Porygon.
You wouldn't steal a car.
You wouldn't download a Porygon. This is kind of tough, honestly.
It really is.
But there's nothing to fill that niche of like 90. Like, you have to remember that Pokemon came out in a time when like the internet was still magical.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of like a computer generated thing, creature, was miraculous and weird. And I think that is worth acknowledging.
Okay, so I just found the thing that destroys Porygon for me.
What's that?
According to the Pokedex, Porygon has an uncrackable DRM. Porygon is just DRM.
What?
Because you can't copy Porygon. It's copy protected, so it cannot be duplicated by copying.
Wow. You're right, yeah.
It's fucking Securom. Securom does not make our fucking Pokemon list.
Oh, okay, fair enough. We'll have this conversation again soon with Porygon 2.
I mean, do you think it's going to go differently for the worst design?
I mean, the worst design is Porygon Z. I think they couldn't have made it worse than Porygon Z.
Well, that's the worst, but Porygon 2 is worse than Porygon.
Yeah. I don't know enough about Porygon 2. I'll have to do some research when we get there.
You know what? I'm going to put cut for Porygon, but I'm going to, you know, for all the Pokemon creators out there who are listening, of course you're listening to the Johto Quorum. How could you not? We are the governing body of Pokemon. Mm-hmm. It's a good idea. Do better.
Yeah. Give me another virtual Pokemon.
Sorry. You got to do better than that.
The internet's in a different place right now. You can do so many different things with, like...
Imagine a Pokemon that had, like, three different forms that were, like, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Well, no, let's not imagine what you just said. Let's instead put that away and get to our next Pokemon.
Fan art, please.
Fan art, please. Give me Scanline Chan, but she looks... Remember that... Have you ever seen that art that's, like, anime girl dressed as Mozilla Firefox?
Yes, of course.
It fucking sucks. I love corporations. You know what? I also love Six.
What's that?
Doing this show and talking about Omanyte, also known as Omnite.
Omanyte is cool.
I always thought Omanyte was really adorable.
Yeah, it's a nice, like, it's a good, like, it's supposed to be like a trilobite or something, right?
Trilobite, and yes.
Trilobite.
I don't mean to correct you, but yeah, it grows out of its shell. It's the first fossil Pokemon. I believe every gen has fossil Pokemon. Is that accurate?
I don't know. I just don't know.
I'm
afraid even I really just don't know.
I don't know. Its shiny form is pink, which is always a huge plus.
Yeah, that's sick.
It's technically got the void. It's under the shell, but it still kind of has the void.
Just a little taste of the void.
Interestingly, I'd almost say Omanyte fulfills the role that Shellder could have filled if we didn't cut Shellder, where it's like you're on the beach and you just look down and you're like, oh, it's Omanyte. Hey, pal. But,
you know,
I think specifically Omanyte is like a ancient thing that you wouldn't run into it on the beach.
Well, if you would be like, wow, that's crazy. You're adorable and also shouldn't exist. But I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm taking this to a science lab. I say keep Omanyte, honestly.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I wanna believe that there's a version of the Pokemon world where Omanyte got, like, revived from a fossil. They revived, like, two of them or whatever, and released them into the ocean, and now there is a small but budding Omanyte population.
So here's an easy thing to do now.
Uh-huh.
I mean, cut Omastar? It's so icky.
Yeah, but that's... I mean, like, you're the one who keeps telling me sometimes you need the icky ones, right?
Icky, sticky, yes.
Omastar has, like, the beak, which is, like, that's a thing that animals do.
Yeah.
That's a scary thing that animals do that should be represented. And it's just like, hey, look, your friendly snail buddy is now going to murder you.
And now and it I'm has kind a of into fucking that. Four-pronged mouth, yeah.
Yeah, and it's got the spikes on its shell, and the void is gone and replaced with the absolute ferocity and murderous intent in those eyes. I'm into it, honestly.
My only thing with Omastar is I like the other fossil type pairing more than I like Omastar.
That's true. As far as an evolution, it's not that inspired. And we are here to try and make this list a little more manageable, aren't we? So it kind of would be a little bit of a chicken shit move to be like, we can keep Amistar because it's not that bad and we should have creepy things. We have creepy things. We fucking kept Muk.
Did we? Oh, yeah, we did. Muk.
Yeah. So, okay. We can drop Amistar. I'm fair. That's fair.
And that comes with the qualification that we keep both Kabuto and Kabutops because, oh my god.
Kabuto is great and spooky. Kabuto looks scary.
All void. All the time, baby.
Yeah, it's just this, like, it's like a pair of pincers that feed you into the darkness. And that's sick. And then it evolves into Kabutops, which is like a fossil Scyther rock guy. He's cool.
Kabutops is totally like a pre-Scyther.
Scyther's already.
I know, but
Oh, you mean like historically?
Yeah, it's a progenitor of Scyther, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, like, I feel like there might be, yeah, like, you could see a world in which Kabutops, you know, had to adapt to the land and became Scyther or something.
Right. And it had to, like, develop the armor around it. I've always found there'd be such a cool mystery around the fossil Pokemon, especially Kabuto and Kabutops, because you go to, like, any museum in any of the Pokemon games, and they're like, here's a whole skeleton of something. We don't know what it is. Like, the game doesn't tell you what it is, but if you look at the sprite, it's usually, like, a Kabutops, because you can see, like, these gigantic fuck-off claws and this triangle head. It's so creepy looking. I love it.
It's great. I'm a big fan.
And just, I think Kabuto to Kabutops is the biggest change from an evolution to the next in...
But it still feels cohesive.
Yes.
Like, you're like, okay, so inside that void, it was getting ripped, and one day it burst out, and it was like, I'm here, fuck you up.
It got shredded.
Yeah. It's
and now sick. I have a six-pack. Yeah, Kabutops totally has a six-pack, and coincidentally, when they go shiny, they turn green, and they just look more like Scyther.
Huh. I didn't notice that. That's true.
It, like, is the shade of Scyther. But here's the thing. Also, rock and water is just a really cool typing.
Yeah, it really is.
That you don't see outside of fossils very much. I have a thought.
Okay.
Aerodactyl needs to get the fuck out of here.
Now, hold on here, my friend.
No.
My fine, unfeathered friend.
Oh.
Have you looked at Mega Aerodactyl?
Yeah, I want to cut that too. Get that rock monster the fuck out of
what?
Here.
What? Look at that chin.
The chin's good. The rock Dracula.
It's got such a chin.
It's got a pointy chin. In Japanese, its name is Terra. Terra.
Oh, because it's a pterodactyl.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, maybe we should cut it. Damn it. That's really lame.
The one thing I like about Aerodactyl is it's got the big belly, sort of. But that's like a really specific thing. Also, it's clearly a progenitor to Charizard. It's so interesting. I've never thought about these fossil Pokemon as being like... the thing that would later evolve into something else. That's so unique.
Is that not a valuable thing to have?
It is. It is a valuable thing to have. I'm just thinking now that there are so many flying fossils later. But like, I don't mean to give Game Freak some shit here, but is it cool because they designed it to look like a progenitor, or did they have one idea for a flying dragon looking thing and they kind of made it twice?
I mean, I don't need to worry about their intent. I need to worry about the end results, and I think the end results are compelling.
That Aerodactyl looks cool as it relates to Charizard and other fossil types.
Right. I think its place in the setting is interesting. And I also think it's interesting that its Mega Evolution gets rid of the hands. And so the Mega Aerodactyl shows, like, this is what Aerodactyl's inclination was outside of environmental factors. This is how it would have evolved to be more powerful. But that is the same Aerodactyl, that is the same evolutionary line and tendency that led it to go extinct. Charizard is the adaptation that actually succeeded.
Right. You make a very good point. I'm looking right now. There is not a fossil in Gen 2. There's one in 3, 4, 5, and 6. I don't think there's actually one in 7. And in terms of flying dinosaurs, we get Archaeops way later. But that's not a pterodactyl. There's surprisingly little in the realm of like dinosaur-esque flying dinosaur-esque Pokemon. So maybe it's worth keeping Aerodactyl for this. I came into this honestly being ready to take Aerodactyl the fuck out of the sky.
But there's a lot more to it than you initially think.
Yeah, that's what these discussions are for.
Indeed, indeed. So you want to keep that? You want to keep that Aerodactyl then?
Yeah, I do.
Excellent.
And I'm willing
we'll keep
ride
Mega
with you.
As well.
I was gonna say I'm willing to ride with you on the Mega.
Yeah. I mean, if it weren't for the Mega, honestly, I would be with you, but the Mega sort of made me pause and consider it more.
I can't believe we're about to... We're going to finish 150 tonight.
Yes, we are.
This is amazing. What a podcast.
Snorlax.
Cobbygon.
He's a sleeping Pokemon.
Good night. It's 6.
How is there not an Alolan Snorlax?
I was just thinking that today. I was literally when today you were like, we're going to record a TJQ. I was like, oh man, we're gonna get to Snorlax. I can't wait to talk about its Alolan. Wait a minute. How about its Mega? No, neither.
It just needs, like, its Alolan form should just have a pillow.
Aww. It wouldn't make any sense in terms of how Alolan forms work, but aww.
Well, make the pillow like a rock and write some text about, like, how it, like, hugged a volcano or something. I don't know.
Kazumakir, you ass, loves the volcano. Cobbygon, which I'm not even going to read the description for the Japanese name because it's like a whole paragraph explaining it.
It doesn't do anything other than eat and sleep.
Same.
When prompted to make a serious effort, though, it apparently displays awesome power.
Not same.
It also, of course, has the Z-move Pulverizing Pancake, which we all know and love.
That's
it's the source of that great meme with the glowing eyes.
Yep.
As Snorlax murders you.
Whom amongst us hasn't been sleeping and woken up by someone rude and been like, I could kill you?
Real shit, as they say.
Six's roommate. Six, we're going to get dinner. Do you want to come party with us? I'm sleeping. Eyes glow. Jumps out of bed. Realizes that V is not 1,014.1 pounds. Goes back to sleep. Snorlax in the games is always cool. We're keeping Snorlax.
Yes.
Snorlax is cool in the games because it's like a physical challenge that you have to get around that you're like, I could just go. It's alive. I could just tell it to move. It's so sleepy that I can't yell at it to make it move. It needs to be played the flute.
I like that in Let's Go, if you bring a Snorlax out of its Pokeball, you ride on its shoulders and it basically sleepwalks.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's sick.
Also, Snorlax has never been seen with its eyes open.
I mean, there's that Z move, right?
Yeah, but that's like eyes, like anime glowy eyes.
Yeah, like, I guess honestly, you don't like its eyes are technically open, but you can't see it because the light of malice blocks out.
1,014 pounds. That's an absolute unit. 6'11".
That's a big friend.
I want to sleep on a Snorlax really badly, like really badly. Literally today, this is timely. Literally today, when we're recording, or I guess yesterday, because of time zones. The Pokemon YouTube channel put up a video that was just like a little clip from the X and Y anime where Ash runs into a Snorlax that helps out a local agrarian town with their crops.
Because
they grow a bunch of roots, and then as the things are growing, they pick them, and then the Snorlax like wakes up once a year, eats all of the roots, and Ash is like, wait, isn't that bad for you guys? And they're like, no, it plows the fields when it does that unintentionally. It sleepwalks to plow the fields, and then it goes back to sleep for a year. And he's like, wow, Pokemon are that's amazing. It is sick.
Yeah, that's so cool.
I love Snorlax.
Thank you, Snorlax.
You are appreciated and valid. I'm going to let you sleep.
Get some rest,
God,
friend.
God, Munchlax is going to be a chat. Fuck.
Let's talk about some Articuno.
We got some birds. This is one of the funniest examples of the English name being 100 times better than the next three, where the English name is way better than the Japanese name. Because Arctic Uno, which is Arctic One in Spanish, Zapdos, Zap and Two, Mole Tres, Mole and Three, Articuno in Japanese is Freezer Zap. Hey guys, it's me, Freezer. Zapdos is, get ready for it, warm up your butt, it's Thunder. Hi, my name's Thunder.
I'm just imagining Zapdos flying up and creating a purple ball of energy and going, I'll destroy you and this entire planet,
Freezer. dog Moltres is literally named Fire. What are doing?
What's its shiny form? What's its shiny form? What's its shiny form?
For Moltres?
Oh, it's just a silver. I know this sounds cheesy, but just call me Golden Freezer. No, you're not going to let me have that. You're really not.
Oh. Okay. That being said, cut one of the birds. We can't keep all the birds.
We can cut... Okay. Articuno is the best bird.
Yeah?
Articuno is gorgeous.
Are we going to just pull an evolution and keep Articuno and Moltres and kill Zapdos? Zapdos is interesting, though. Zapdos' look is interesting.
We'll get there.
So, yeah.
I think we should keep Articuno. Can we agree on that?
It doesn't look that icy.
I mean, it doesn't in its sprite. Like, I don't know. I have in my head, like, also I have, like, representations from, like, Pokemon Snap where, like, there's sort of like the like Shiva Diamond Dust sort of glittering effect when it flaps its wings and stuff. It looks very cool.
You Final Fantasy motherfucker.
Well,
Shiva Diamond Dust. Also another one where the sprites in the original games look really bad.
It freezes water that is contained in winter air and makes it snow.
Yeah, if you're going to read the Pokédex entries, all of the legendary, they're legendary birds. They all have really fascinating, like, things that they do.
A legendary bird that is said to appear to doomed people who are lost in icy mountains.
Oh, no.
Articuno's rad.
Okay, fine. Articuno can stay.
Okay.
There's actually not too many ice birds, too, which is useful.
That's true. It's true. I mean, there aren't that many electric birds either. However...
Thunder.
Zapdos is a design.
We live in a society.
It's like Fearow had sex with a Jolteon. Listen, I said it.
Name origin. Zapdos is a combination of zap and dos, which is Spanish for two, and then Japanese. Thunder is literally thunder. Like, yo, we got nothing. How do you name a bird thunder? It looks so cool because it looks like... Oh, how do I describe this? It looks like the interpretation of what a lightning bird looks like.
Yeah, I really like... So, in the early games, it was like you had that, like, the little bit of black poking up on its wings, and it was like, oh, that looks kind of cool. It's like it's got, like, sort of, like secondary feathers or something.
Yeah.
But as of, like Diamond and Pearl, and especially into, like, after that, you see, like, oh, no, it has a second set of wings behind it that are black.
Yeah.
It looks really neat.
Mm-hmm. Terrible shiny type. Terrible, terrible shiny.
Yeah, yeah. You can. Its feet and beak are a little bit more orange.
Pretty much.
That's weak sauce.
I like it. We're now into legendaries. Like, legendaries are our whole discussion amongst themselves. Mm-hmm. Zapdos is cool. I actually think we should keep Zapdos.
It's interesting enough. I can get on board with that.
It looks like a cartoon of somebody who was electrocuted.
Yeah, Zapdos is at least, like, I don't know if I think it's a great design, but at least it's inspired.
Yes, very.
So we can definitely, we can keep Zapdos. I'm down with that. Oh, shit, Alan?
Yeah, what's up?
You're not recording. Don't stop recording.
But
I left my chicken in the oven, and now it looks like Moltres, a shitty design.
Oh, are you doing a gag?
Yes, sorry. I was too convincing. I'm too good at this.
It's like, wait, it's 9:47 where you are? What? Moltres. The funny thing about Moltres is when you look at it, like, in design or in flight, you're like, wow, majestic, beautiful. I love Phoenix Pokemon. There are better Phoenixes mm-hmm. later, by the way. This is so cool. But then you, like, see it upright, and it's just a chicken. It's just a burnt chicken.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's extremely bad.
Anytime you look at Moltres other than, like, its tail being on fire is cool, and its wings have, like, the fire trail, and that's awesome, and the forehead, sure. But then as soon, like, this one did not make the translation to 3D very well, because you just see it's got, like, a big belly, and it looks like it can't carry its own weight. Like, it looks like a mess. Mm-hmm.
And here's the interesting thing, right? Yeah. We shouldn't do this too much, I know, but, like, so we have these three legendary birds, and it's like, oh no, if you cut this, you're going to be down a bird, right? It's going to mess up the whole, and it's like, dog, literally next generation we get a new firebird.
It's a better firebird, yeah.
It's just a bad design.
It's weird. It's so weird because it doesn't feel interpretive the way that Zapdos works because it's interpretive, and Articuno works because it's like majestic and scary in the way a legendary is supposed to be. But then Moltres is just like, yeah, and then also there's like we put a Firebird in the game.
Right.
And like I do like the idea of a Firebird. I don't want people to be like, what the hell? You don't like fire like Phoenix types. But again, like if we're picking the best one of these, they do it better later.
They really do.
Spicy
they really
take,
do.
Spicy take.
And like, you know what? They knew that they did it better because, as we've mentioned before, in the first episode of the show, Ho-Oh shows up. Yeah. So it's not like they already were locked and loaded. They were holding out on a better bird. It was an intentional choice.
God, Ho-Oh's amazing.
Ho-Oh's really cool.
Okay. The green? No, not yet. It can't happen. This is not allowed.
Nope.
What is allowed?
Is cutting Moltres and talking about Dratini.
Miniryu. Want to guess what that means? Miniature Ryu?
Yeah, I was going to say it's like small something.
What's Ryu mean? I want you to, you know this.
Dragon.
Good job. Small dragon. It's a small dragon. What's the deal with Dratini?
It's a portmanteau of dragon and martini.
It's delicious with a little olive. It's tiny. Dragon tiny.
Dratini is really cute.
Yeah, it doesn't have a mouth. I think that the forehead thingy is a little inspired, actually. It's kind of like we wanted to add some color to the face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always sort of assumed that there was like, that it did have a mouth, that it was just sort of like where that white bump ends, that there's a mouth there, that it could open up there.
Oh.
That's what I always thought, but I guess I've never seen it do that, so.
Also, it goes in the anime, which is cute. That was a really good Dratini impression. My thing with Dratini is if we're going to talk about it in the context of its... Oh my god, the shiny is like the cutest thing in the world. I love
it. It's so good.
Oh my god. Sorry, scrolling. It looks like its evolutions. This is a very clean evolutionary line, actually. I know a lot of people, and me included... Hang on. I know a lot of people, me included, are like, Dragonite doesn't make any sense after Dragonair. Maybe if the coloring was different, that would be right.
It's true.
But,
it's true.
You know, Dragonite is what it is for a reason. But I honestly think keep Dratini. I think it's like cute. Like, because they do a lot with dragon type that isn't just like, it looks like a dragon. I think my least favorite dragon type Pokemon is coming up in like 10 years. But for now, they're like, oh, dragon just means like related to, what's it called? Fairy tales. Just dragons, because like Shelgon is dragon type dog.
That's a good point.
So it's like it doesn't have to look like a dragon. Sligoo is dragon type.
So, like, there's an alternate world where the type was called mythic.
Yes, and that's why fairy is good against dragon because it's supposed to be like good conquers over evil in the fairy tales.
I like that a lot. I never thought about that.
Yeah, I read that.
That's really cool.
It's one of those like fan theories that just makes sense. So, in the context of that, it's like yeah, Dratini. Is like the pre, like gigantic dragon. This is what a baby dragon looks like.
What do you feel about Dragonair?
I don't know how I feel about Dragonair being kind of sexy. All right, well, let's cut that part out of the podcast.
There, bud? You okay?
No, it's got like a debonair sort of sound, like a ooh, like fan, like cute. It's Dragonair.
It's a snake. Like
I'm a snake. Hakuryu. Hakuryu.
I actually am a snake as far as, you know, the zodiac is concerned.
White dragon?
Sure.
Why not? Yeah. Do you need... I mean, if you're going to go to Dragonite, you have to have Dragonair? It has the little horn now?
I mean, I do... So there are a couple of things, I think. One, okay. it gets the little wings on its head, and it can fly with those.
Really? No, it's like it can learn fly?
Yeah, if you look at some of the other images on Bulbapedia, you can see it flying.
Oh my god, you're right. It can expand the wings. They That's cool.
It is. I think the little gems are neat. It has like two on its tail and one on its neck. I think those are cool. And I think if you went straight from Dratini to Dragonite, it'd be like... I mean, that's just such a jump in scale that it wouldn't make any sense.
That's fair.
So you're down with Dragon Air?
Yes, I think I am.
Cool.
It changes weather with its thoughts.
That's pretty sick. You want to talk about 149, Dragonite.
Dragonite, also in Japanese as Kairyu, which is a combination of Kairi from Kingdom Hearts and Ryu from Street Fighter. If they had a baby, it would be Dragonite.
Isn't it like Dragon Unleashed or something?
Kai. Dragon Release. Kai can mean like ocean, cheerful, all that stuff, and then Ryu's Dragon.
I guess it depends on what kanji they're using.
Yes. But... what kanji are they using in this thing? Oh, they're using not kanji, they're using hiragana.
Because Kai can mean like release, like unleashed. And so I was thinking it was like, oh, it's the dragon unleashed from... well, whatever. My Japanese isn't good enough to do wordplay.
Dragonite was my favorite Pokemon for a while. There, I fucking said it. Am I loud?
Huh. Well, I was getting ready to say we should cut Dragonite.
I know, boss. That's why I said I love Dragonite. It's so cute. I loved using it in Gen 2. It's the ultimate Tom. It's the best Tom in all of Gen 1, I think.
It does have a very strong Tom.
Uh-huh. It's got tiny wings. It's got the doofy little head antenna. It's got a horn that's unpronounced. If you look at it and ignore the little head things, it does look like a more clear evolution of Dragonair.
Do you remember...
The 21st of September.
No, I was going to say, Pokemon the first movie, when the Dragonite shows up in that.
Yes, and it does a mouth beam or whatever.
In that all it does is it shows up and delivers a letter.
Oh, you're right.
But it has the voice acting, which is like, bow. It's so cute.
I think that honestly influenced me loving Dragonite as a kid so much.
It honestly is going to push me over to not fighting this one because that voice is so cute. It's just like this puppy. Sure, he's a full-grown dragon now, but he's just kind of a doof. He's just a big friendly doof.
That's the thing, is so many dragon types later, like they really do dragon type dirty later on because they just do like, oh, dragon means like it's this
edgy
and gross and it's got horns and then like, so, you know, Gudra finally recovers that negativity, but it's like Rayquaza, like it's a huge flying monster, and Garchomp's got a mouth, and it's like, man, what are you doing with dragon type? Do them better. So Dragonite has like the cute foofy dragon. It looks like it's a side character out of the TV show Dragon Tales, which you might have been too old for, but you know of Dragon Tales.
I know of it, I was too old for it, you're right.
Okay, yeah, Dragon Tales was litty too titty, so I say keep Dragonite.
Can you believe we're keeping an entire three-stage evolutionary line?
It be your own people sometimes.
I know.
Sometimes
We've been pretty rough. We've been pretty brutal on this podcast, but
yeah, we're mean.
And this is just a good run of Pokemon, because now we're going to talk about Mewtwo.
Oh fuck!
Mewtwo is sick as hell.
Yeah, I'm going to pass this one over to you because Mewtwo has like significance to your life.
Mewtwo is like. If there was a Pokemon that I would say goals about, it would be Mewtwo.
The thighs, yeah, I agree, the thighs. Yeah.
I mean, just like, so much about it. Just what a sick design. What a, like, that voice in the movie, his whole role where he's like, he represents Pokemon fighting back against the system in a way. Yes. I fucking love. He has a sense of drama. He has that armor. He has two Mega Evolutions. We're going to get rid of Mega Mewtwo X because it's dumb looking.
Yay! I was going to say we have to pick one to keep, and I'm glad we picked the right one.
Yeah, Y is great. X is, listen, I really like the idea of Mewtwo becoming also a fighting type. I think that's really cool.
Does it in X?
X is psychic fighting.
Oh, interesting.
Which I think is, yeah, it's a really neat idea. I'm going to say take another stab at that one, because I just think the visuals of it just aren't there.
Uh-huh.
But I do really like that idea.
Oh.
But, I mean, just, Mewtwo's just, like, honestly, Eevee is my favorite. Oh, you linked the armor from
it's
Pokemon
so
the first movie, which
good.
Is, it's extremely good, and they've never brought it back, and I don't know why.
Nah.
It's so sick. Mewtwo is still, like, to me, the most, like, I'm, you know, it's a Pokemon. I'm not, like, scared by it, but, like, Mewtwo is the most intimidating Pokemon.
Yeah. It's its own character in Smash Brothers for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great design, completely separate from what it is. It represents the best, to me, of legendaries. It's not my favorite legendary, but, like, in terms of the mystery of what it is in the games and the fact that it's never been in the anime except for the movies, mm-hmm. I think, unless I'm wrong. I'm gonna try and confirm that. Battle of the Bridge, Showdown of Poke Corral. Oh, no, it's been in episodes. Huh.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, but I think it's like cameos briefly and stuff.
Sure, that makes sense.
And Giovanni and that whole thing. And then the Mega Evolutions brought it back in a big way. And then it was in Pokemon Origins in a really cool way.
I mean, like, and this year, in a couple of months, they're putting out fucking Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution, which is like a CG version of Pokemon the first movie.
Oh, is that thing you linked in the in the gamer chat?
Discord. Yeah. The Discord, yeah.
Okay, great.
Like, Mewtwo's just... Mewtwo is the original, like, I don't know, Mewtwo represents the idea of mystery and the unknown and the scary in Pokemon. Mewtwo represents the idea that Pokemon can be more than just creatures you catch and battle with, that they can have their own agenda.
Yeah.
And that's so sick.
Mewtwo doesn't take your fucking, your business, your job, you colonialist assholes.
Mewtwo beat Ash in a Pokemon battle and then beat him in a debate because Ash is an idiot.
Mm-hmm. It's not hard.
Mewtwo rules. I'm such a big fan.
And its role as, like, its relationship to our next one, too. Like, it's Mewtwo. Its entire existence is based on it trying being an attempt by humans to make a clone of the perfect Pokemon.
And Mew wasn't in the base game. Like, I mean, the data was there, but there was no way to, without glitching, get Mew. And so Mewtwo was a Pokemon that had that mystery, but also hinted at the existence of another Pokemon, which is one of these things that early on they did that they haven't really done as much since, and I really miss.
Yeah.
It's like the Ho-Oh cameo, right? It's like, oh, Mewtwo, where's Mew? Where's Mew? What are you talking about? Yeah.
And it's Mewtwo in Japanese also, though they didn't change the name. Because that's just a single syllable with a two after it. And it's useful in the Pokemon games, and it's got different abilities, and it's got a good shiny. Just across the board, it's honestly one of the best Pokemon.
It's period. Pretty sick.
Do you want to do the last one and then call it, since that'll bring us to the end of Gen 1?
Yeah, so our last Pokemon here is Mew. 151, unobtainable in the game except for via events. Of course, I'm talking about Red and Blue. There are other ways.
At this point, you can get Mew from, like, you fall on the street and someone just hands you Mew. Like, it's not...
Sure, sure.
All right.
I remember doing the fly glitch with the Nugget Bridge to get myself a fucking Mew. I remember that shit.
Hell yeah.
Do you know why that works?
No.
So, the reason it works is when you, encounter a Pokemon, there's, like, it rolls basically a number, right? To figure out what Pokemon you're going to encounter.
Uh-huh.
And then trainers that you battle also have assigned numbers. So what you do is you go to a couple of trainers, or a couple of trainers that have a specific number, and then also are far enough away that it takes them a second to get over to you.
Uh-huh.
So you exploit basically the time it takes for them to get to you to encounter them, so that the game starts it sort of technically starts the encounter and assigns that trainer value to sort of like to the RAM.
Right.
But then you fly away before the fight can happen, and through a series of things, basically you move that trainer number into the Pokemon encounter number.
Oh.
So it forces the next encounter to be that number, which is Mew.
That's very interesting.
It's a pretty cool, like, yeah, just a bit of way of using the code. It's really neat.
Yeah, I'm reading about, like, index numbers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's cool. Mew is fascinating. I mean, again, separate from Mewtwo, like, Mew is just the source of many a mystery of my childhood. Like, what is this thing? How do you catch it? And it's different from Mewtwo, I guess as a knock to Mew. Mew's not that fun to use in the game. Like, it has the novelty of being able to use every TM, HM, move, tutor, move. But it's, and it can use transform. It's the only other Pokemon other than Ditto that can transform, which is also cool. The anime and the movies have leaned into it being really cute instead of being really mysterious. It's like, yeah, we ran into a Mew and it was like, and we were like, wow, that's so cute. And then it ran away and fucking flew away. Mew in Pokemon Snap is amazing. When you beat the game, you go, like, into space, and then you can just, like, fucking take pictures of Mew in space. I think Mew's just awesome.
Mew is great. And Mew is good for the series. Like, I mean, I'm willing to say that this is a situation where we're probably playing a little... we're playing a little gentle with Mew out of nostalgia. But, yeah, like, I don't know. That there's... Mew coasts a little bit on the power of Mewtwo as a design and being tied to it. And also just, I don't know, it's okay to have a Pokemon like this that's just sort of simple and nice and cute and legendary.
But they, yeah, and they are obviously related. They have to be. But Mew as like the sort of, they parallel each other. It almost feels like you have to have both. You know, I think it seems like a bit of a cop-out that so far we've only cut one legendary, but we're not going to keep every legendary in the series.
No.
Of course not.
No, we are not.
We cannot do that, Heatran. So
bad news for the dogs.
Oh, wait. Which dog do I like? I'm trying to think.
Molly.
Yeah.
You like Molly.
I like Molly, and I like Suicune a lot. But Raikou can suck something. Mew is good because Mewtwo is like, what happens when humans try to fuck up perfection? And Mew is just like pure, untouched nature. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is what Pokemon look like when you don't fuck with them. They're just like little kangaroo orb friends. It's fun looking, scrolling through like game location how to catch lists for Mew, and it's just like everyone else, it's like route 14, route 13, trade only, and then it's just like event is the only way you've ever been able to catch Mew.
Yeah,
except in Diamond and Pearl, where you can use My Pokemon Ranch.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that was a WiiWare game. Ew. Icky. And then you can catch it in Emerald. What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can just catch it in Emerald. You don't even have to do anything. What? That's wild.
I mean, it's sort of an event Pokemon. It's like Mewtwo, right? It's just sort of shown. It's just sort of seen there.
That's actually interesting, yeah. And then for Let's Go, you only get it from Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. I would say keep Mew then. That's a good, you know what I mean though, by the argument of like one is like nature and the other one is artificial.
Right. There's a very clear contrast in the designs, and but there's also very similar.
Yeah, they're clearly coming from the same base. Yes.
What if you tried to weaponize Mew? You'd get Mewtwo.
Yep. Mewtwo will fuck you up and then grow a big back forehead. Mega Mewtwo Y looks like something out of a Serial Experiments Lane or something. It's just like, oh, what is that? I haven't watched that anime, but I'm just imagining what that's like.
I'm looking at screenshots of Mega Mewtwo X from Pokken Tournament. Apparently, it can fucking do a Dalsim with its arms.
Oh,
It's doing the big stretchy, yeah.
I've finally rubbed off on you. The big stretchy?
I don't know, should we keep Mega X as well?
These are the hard conversations. These are the tough ones. I did not know it was fighting type. That leans me.
I mean, like, okay, let's look at some art.
I was about to say, let's look at some art. If some fan artist figured out a cool way to make Mega Mewtwo X look good. Oh, Six sent me one. Yeah, wow, big leggy, you're right.
That's just in-game footage, right?
Right. And you're right, in Pokemon it gets the leggy. Not seeing a ton of art outside of what we already know. There's some porn.
Oh, is there really?
Yeah,
I mean, of course there is, but like also like, yeah, okay. Huh.
The internet is stupid. Do, 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 do. I just sent Six an image of a plushie of Mega Mewtwo X that looks really bad.
Let's keep Mega Mewtwo X.
Sure. I got nothing wrong with an ugly legendary here and there.
All right. I sent mildly not great one to Alan, but yeah, okay, we're keeping Mega Mewtwo X as well. We're just keeping everything related to Mewtwo because Mewtwo's great.
It is, and that, dear listener, brings us to the end of Generation 1 of Pokemon. We did it.
We have gone through the Kanto region's worth of Pokemon. We've also included their Alolan forms. So all told, we've done like 170 Pokemon.
Damn. in 6 episodes. That's your name, by the way.
Yes, it is. So we're going to be starting with Johto, our namesake, soon. We'll probably have to do a Johto Cities episode at some point, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's so much. It's really one of the great things about Pokemon is the way it captures your imagination, your nostalgia, and your passion, right?
Uh-huh.
And so the potential for the show, I think, is really, there's really just so much we can do with it, and I'm really excited, and I don't know what's going to be next for us. I don't think the next thing is going to be us talking about number 152.
You mean in terms of episodes?
Right. I think the next episode, we're probably going to do something else before getting back to that.
I'm down. I mean, so what's awesome is, you know, everybody has opinions on Gen 1. We've had all these lovely guests and emails and comments and people saying this podcast is awesome. And I love all that. It really inspires us and keeps us going. But like Gen 1 is here and gone. And we started this podcast because we had strong opinions about stuff from Generations 4 and 5, which are often the least discussed Pokedexes. And so we have like the stuff that we've been most excited to talk about, not even close to coming up yet. And yeah. As Magellan hinted at when he was on an episode, Gen 2 is full of bangers.
It's there are honestly not many generations of Pokemon where there aren't a bunch that I have a lot of affection for and a bunch that I have a lot of animosity towards. So there's always something exciting on the horizon.
Right. There always is. It's a whole new world we live in. It's a whole new place with a brand new attitude. But you still got to rank them all.
Really do.
Johto Quorum.
But Alan, you know, these games, the show, this content, it may be for kids.
But let's be adults.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Peace out.